That night, Bobby lay on his back with his heels spread to the corners of the bed, eyes open and looking up at the ceiling. His window was open, too, the curtains drifting back and forth in a breath of a breeze. And from some other open window came the sound of the platters here in the afterglow of day. We keep our rendezvous beneath the blue. Farther away was the drone of an airplane, the honk of a horn. Rionda's dad had called it a winkle, and once he'd hit the daily number for $50. Bobby had agreed with her, a winkle, sure I had a winkle, but he couldn't have picked a lottery number to save his soul. The thing was, Mr. McQuown knew where the queen ended up every time, and so I knew. Once Bobby realized that, other things fell into place. Obvious stuff, really, but he'd been having fun, and, well, you didn't question what you knew, did you? You might question a winkle, a feeling that came to you right out of the blue, but you didn't question knowing. Except how did he know his mother was taping money into the underwear pages of the Sears catalog on the top shelf of her closet? How did he even know the catalog was up there? She'd never told him about it. She'd never told him about the blue pitcher where she put her quarters either, but of course he had known about that for years. He wasn't blind, even though he had an idea she sometimes thought he was. But the catalog, the quarters rolled and changed into bills, the bills then taped into the catalog. There was no way he could know about a thing like that. But as he lay there in his bed listening while Earth Angel replaced Twilight Time, he knew that the catalog was there. He knew because she knew. And it had crossed the front part of her mind. And on the Ferris wheel, he had known Carol wanted him to kiss her again because it had been her first real kiss from a boy, and she hadn't been paying enough attention. It had been over before she was completely aware it was happening. But knowing that wasn't knowing the future. No. It's just reading minds, he whispered, and then shivered all over as if his sunburn had turned to ice. Watch out, Bobby-o. If you don't watch out, you'll wind up as nuts as Ted with his low men. Far off in the town square, the clock began bonging the hour of 10. Bobby turned his head and looked at the alarm clock on his desk. Big Ben claimed it was only 9:52. All right, so the clock downtown is a little faster. Mine is a little slow. Big deal, McNeil. Go to sleep. He didn't think he could do that for at least a while. But it had been quite a day. Arguments with mothers, money won from three-card Monte dealers, kisses at the top of the Ferris wheel, and he began to drift in a pleasant fashion. Maybe she is my girlfriend, Bobby thought. Maybe she's my girlfriend after all. With the last premature bong of the town square clock still fading in the air, Bobby fell asleep.